Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing really great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Today, we're going to hear about a woman's motherhood journey and how her challenges eventually turned into a mission and a life purpose, not only for herself, but for her daughter as well. And then we'll learn about the nonprofit that served this mother and her family and helped them overcome some challenging situations and move on to even more blessings and impact in the community. Welcome to the show today, Karen Schlindwein, Board President of Chosen, Inc. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You are welcome. Well, you're kind of a local celebrity, Karen, because you've been featured in the news, you've been on Morning Blend. Your story has reached across the community and made a significant impact in a variety of ways. Why don't you start by telling us how your journey began, and then we'll get into some specifics of how it became a nonprofit serving families in our area.
Absolutely. We actually have a 50-year journey that brought us to our first 10 years at Chosen. My mom and dad were foster parents, and my husband and I experienced infertility, so it wasn't too surprising that adoption came into our path. And so we adopted our daughter and our son, and we taught them at a very young age that they were chosen once by us and once by God. And so the idea of being chosen resonated with our daughter especially. And she told me when she was 10 years old that someday she was going to adopt a lot of children. And so I was able to help many infertile and adoptive couples over the years in ministry. And my husband and I actually had an adoption plan to do a Christian adoption agency, and God closed the door on that. And so many years later, our daughter fulfilled her prophecy. She and her husband became foster parents. They took our business plan that we had from 20 years prior, made it into what Chosen is today, and went on to adopt four of their foster children and then had a bonus baby.
Wow. And so she is the founder and executive director of Chosen.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, it's a beautiful story, and you could Google it and see some of the different videos that are out there. Karen, tell us who you serve and how you serve families.
We serve foster, adoptive, and kinship families in southeastern Wisconsin, right now spanning 13 counties. We provide three types of services. One is to support them in any way that we can, and tangible support being the largest of those types of supports. But we also provide community for them. So we have a lot of community outreach types of events for them. And then we go out into the community as well, and we educate the public about fostering and adoption issues and try to recruit new families.
Okay. Well, you had shared with me some stats, which I think were interesting, and they show that there are 6,000 to 7,000 kids in Wisconsin foster care, with about 4,000 right here within 100 miles of Waukesha. The need is obviously so great. Tell us more about why Chosen is so needed in our community, given these stats.
There are about 65% of the kids in foster care that have sibling groups, and 1,800 of them are teens, and about 40% plus are also special needs. So all of that alone, that just causes quite a lot of need for the families that are serving them. And so we are there to be a support system for them in so many ways, tangibly, spiritually, in just so many ways, because there are so many problems that a lot of these kids have with trauma. And we try to stand alongside of each family individually and help them walk through this journey.
So you deal with children with special needs, multiple siblings, trust challenges, trauma issues. And as you said, the families don't always have everything they need, or probably very seldom do they need. And so you help them with expenses and, of course, share the love of Jesus with all these kids and the families.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of these families just have a lot more on their plates than they know what to do with. And so that idea of community, the idea of just having a support system that they know that they can go to with others that have gone through this journey is very vital for them.
Yeah, you've walked the path,
you know.
So you kind of been there, done that, and I'm sure you have a lot of advice, a lot of counsel that you can share with these families. It's wonderful. You also have family outreach events that you sponsor. Tell us about that.
We do. Throughout the year, we try to have community events for our families just so that they can spend time with each other and develop that community that's so vital for them. We have our annual Toy Palooza event every December, where the kids get a newly wrapped toy, and we have a day full of fun games and shopping for the families to get winter gear for the kids. It's just a lot of fun. We have more than 300 people that attend that.
Nice.
We have a Walk on the Wild Side for foster care every year, where we go out into the community with our brightly colored shirts, raising awareness about foster care. We do Vacation Bible School every year. We do a backpack giveaway for the families. And we also have a winter or a spring Wiggles event, where kids can go to different venues and get their energy out, and moms can sit back and just watch them.
Oh, I bet that's fun. Winter Wiggles, I love that. And what is your largest program?
Our largest program is the Family Closet. We have our flagship location in Waukesha, and that's where families come in to shop free of charge for anything that we have for the kids in care. And coming soon, our mobile Family Closet, where we will actually take the idea of the Family Closet to our families.
Very good. Now, I'm curious about donations. Do you accept used clothing, used toys, used cribs, that kind of thing, or does everything need to be new?
We accept gently used clothes and shoes, and at this point we have so many that come in new because people go and shop clearance sales for us, which is great. But yes, we do accept those used. Everything else we take in is brand new, so that we have the ability to give families things that they can keep for years to come and for long term.
Very good. Very good. Well, we're actually going to take a quick break right now, but when we return, Karen is going to share more information about their impact and their collaborations and partnerships out in the community. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm continuing my conversation with Karen Schlindwein from Chosen Inc. of Wisconsin. Not to be confused with The Chosen. Karen had her name first. She chose it first. Karen, why don't you give us some stats to share about your impact?
Sure. We are 10 years old this year, which is a huge celebration. And in those 10 years, we've given away more than 75,000 items to our families. That encompasses about 1,800 kids, 700 families, and as I mentioned, 13 counties in southeastern Wisconsin.
Nice. Do you reach further outside of our southeastern Wisconsin area?
Not yet. But the mobile Family Closet
might be
the way for us to be able to reach beyond.
Okay, very good. What about impact stories? We love to hear impact stories because it's a great way to share proof of performance.
Absolutely. Well, we had some grant funding recently that allowed us to be able to get some sensory items in our Family Closet. And that's important because a lot of the children that have special needs also have sensory needs. And that can put them in a place where behaviorally they can be very out of sorts. And sometimes it's very challenging to calm them. So having some tools at home is very helpful. So one particular mom had her toddler daughter in and saw all the sensory toys and picked out several things that she took home, and she sent us pictures. And it was so heartwarming to see the smile on her face and to hear the mom's story that it was the first time that her daughter was focused, was calm, was happy, and it lasted for more than a few seconds. And so that was really amazing. We've also had the ability to work with several great partners, including Kingdom Racers, which is an IndyCar event nonprofit connection for us. So we were able to take six of our foster and adoptive kids that we serve to an IndyCar race at the Miracle Mile, first time that it had been there for a while. And the kids got to go down to the pits. They got to meet some of the racers. They got to have headphones on, which is important for their sensory needs. And they had a sensory-friendly experience where somebody was telling them what was going on every step of the way. They had a lot of other things that happened throughout the day that allowed them to have some sensory needs met. And my daughter got to go with, and she said it was absolutely amazing to see the smiles on their faces and to see how much fun that they were having in a way that they could have fun.
Oh, well, and that's your proof of performance right there, you know, to see the smile on the kids' faces, to see them coming out of their shell, to see them change for the good from a behavioral standpoint. Those are all great impact stories. But we know that it's always helpful to have partners out in the community. Share with us some of the collaborations that you've made.
We have several foster care partners, WellPoint Care Network, Norris Beyond Fostering, Waukesha County Foster Care, and then we have other community partners that we work with as well. Cedar Springs Therapeutic Ranch, Kingdom Racers, We Rock the Spectrum, and many, many local churches as well.
Okay. A lot of great things that are going on over there. Fun stuff on the horizon. Other than that that mobile family closet that you talked about, what does the future look like for Chosen?
Well, we were talking about the fact that there are 4,000 kids that are in foster care within 100 miles of Waukesha. So we want to expand our reach to be able to serve more of those kids. We think that the mobile family closet is going to be one way to be able to do that. But to be able to do more family events, gatherings, and be able to be a part of those with our mobile family closet, to be able to have new events, just to try to find new ways to serve these families that will allow them to be able to continue fostering. We also want to expand our mobile family closet reach to be able to go to events that our families are already attending, to be able to go to different neighborhoods that they live in and go be a part of a gathering where we're going to be at a church parking lot or a business parking lot and have families come. We want to be part of other community events that they attend and have a pop-up to be able to go to, so that we are bringing services directly to them, but then also being able to get more people to come to our Toypalooza event and to our different outreach events that we already have, and to find other sensory-friendly things that we can do for kids to be able to allow them to be in a therapeutically beneficial type of situation that will allow them to grow and allow them to be safe as well.
And advocacy is such a big part of this. So if you're at these events with your mobile family closet, people can learn about you. They can tell other people about you. So given those stats that you shared, 4,000 plus kids right within 100 miles of Waukesha, probably people know other families that are dealing with or know people that are looking to adopt or foster, and then they can share that the resources out there. There are resources out there. That's the big reason we do the show.
Absolutely.
But not all the time are people familiar with those resources, and so we want to make sure that they are. What would you say to someone listening who has perhaps considered fostering, but doesn't think that they can do it?
Many people tell me that they can't see beyond a child leaving them. They can't get past that. And I remind them that they can have a significant impact on that child, whether it's for a day or for a lifetime. And I remind them that the kind of love that would cause them to have heartache is exactly what those children need. I also remind them that to think about what they are missing out, what the children are missing out on by not having them in their lives. And the opposite of that, though, how their life could be so much more enriched by having those children in their lives and be able to serve those children. Many people make a profound impact on each and every child that comes in their doors, whether for a short time or for a lifetime. And that is the kind of impact those children need in a very critical time in their life.
Yeah. Again, lots of things that you're offering to the families, things that you're doing out in the community. What would you say is your greatest need right now? If you were talking directly to our listeners and they say, what's the best way for us to help you, to help support your mission, what would you say to that?
Community connections are vital for us. They help us to get to people that either need our service or people that can help to fund some of the things such as the Mobile Family Closet that we're trying to get going. We always, very importantly, need foster and adoptive families to care for these kids, to provide them a safe and loving home. Volunteers, we always need volunteers for our events, for our different committees, our fundraising committee, advisory committee, sorting clothes, other group events. We have the space for it. We love to have groups come in and serve different ways, wrapping toys or filling backpacks. We just have all sorts of needs there. And of course, financial support. I think all nonprofits need financial support, but as we grow and try to extend our reach, that becomes critical as well.
Okay. And so if there's a corporation interested in doing a corporate give back, this might be a wonderful opportunity to do that around just before the holidays, wrapping gifts, like you said. So, and all through the year, obviously, there's things that people can do all through the years. Share with our audience your contact information for those looking to get to you.
Our website is chosenInLove.org, and my email is Karen, Karen, at chosenInLove.org.
Okay, wonderful. And I imagine if you Google Chosen, you might come up to the series. So you want to make sure that you Google Chosen Inc. of Wisconsin.
ChosenInLove.org.
ChosenInLove.org. Or if they're Googling it, they can just Google Chosen Inc. of Wisconsin, right? Okay,
correct.
Great. Okay, Karen Schlindwein, thank you for being here today. Thank you for sharing your passion for serving children in foster care and adoption situations. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome. Well, Karen mentioned, and we talked about the fact that it's not just adoptive parents who are so important in these children's lives, but that it also takes a village. It takes other organizations who are committed to helping in any way they can to be able to support and care for these kids. Karen's granddaughter went from being a shy and timid little girl to a confident and brave one. Our next nonprofit to be highlighted today was instrumental in that change. Find out who they are and how they made an impact in Karen's family's life when we return after commercial break.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is from the nonprofit who helped Karen's granddaughter go from a shy, timid little girl to a confident and brave one through a specific program that they offer. Welcome to the show today, Executive Director Danielle Massal from Cedar Springs Ranch.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Why don't you start by telling us about Karen's granddaughter and how Cedar Springs Ranch helped her come out of her shell?
Yes. Karen's granddaughter started our therapeutic writing program a little over a year ago. And when she arrived, she was shy and timid, like you said. She was very nervous around the animals and around the new people. And through our program, she has flourished, and she's learned that she can do more than she thought she could. And she can do those hard things. And she has overcome her shyness. And now through our program and with the instructors, she now comes in and tells us what we need to do.
Oh, hey, we got a leader on our hands now. I said, that's wonderful. Okay, so this therapeutic riding, tell us what that is specifically and what the benefits are.
Yes, therapeutic riding is a riding lesson on a horse that helps build the strength and confidence in people living with various types of disabilities. And this can be children and it can be adults. We have clients who are 4 and 5 years old, and we have a client who is 77. We can help build all of those things that they need help with on the back of a horse. It grounds them, and it makes them realize different parts of their body that they're not used to using, and different things in their mind kind of turn on when they're on the back of a horse. And we help people that have different disabilities, physical, emotional, mental, such as cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, autism, anxiety, and PTSD.
I'm thinking of that 77-year-old getting up on the horse. I'd like to see that. That's wonderful.
It's her favorite thing to do every week.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, how did the organization get started in this area specifically?
One of our founders actually has a niece with very severe disabilities, and found that when she was on a horse, she was, like I said, grounded. She was able to do things that she wasn't able to do when she wasn't on the horse. She wasn't able to communicate her needs or stretch out her body in different ways to really build the muscle and coordination that she needed to do things. And when she realized that, when our founder realized that, she decided to open it up to other families in the community. And through that, it turned into what it is today. And we have helped hundreds of families in our community through our therapeutic riding program and our other programs as well. And we are now our own 501c3. We started hand in hand with the church, Cedar Springs Church, and now we have separated. And as of 3 years ago, we are our own nonprofit, and we keep building and growing because we want to help all of the people that we can.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. How do you know that what you're doing in this area of therapeutic riding, how do you know when it's working?
When we see our clients walk in the door, they light up. They see the horse in the arena ready to go, and their eyes sparkle, and their smiles are huge on our 77-year-old client and our 4-year-old clients. And they come in the door, and they're different people. They know that this is something they love, and they want to come to us. And through the connection that they have with the staff, the volunteers, and the animal, it really provides them a place of healing. They are working with a 1,000-pound animal, and they know that, but sometimes they don't quite realize how dangerous that can be. So, you know, safety is high priority. We always have many people working with our clients to maintain safety, but our horses are also very calm horses. They've gone through a lot of training and a lot of different things with our wonderful volunteers, and they know that the people on their back need them.
Well, it's, again, when talking to Karen, all the things that they offer at Chosen, it sounds like you go out to determine exactly what your client needs, and you wrap services around them according to that.
Correct.
And it could look different for different people, whether that's the therapeutic riding or some of the other things that you do.
Correct.
Share with us what some of those other programs are that you offer at the ranch.
Yeah, of course. We do offer group events where, for example, Portal in Grafton is a adult day center, and there's people with disabilities that come there for the day doing various jobs in the community and going on field trips. And one of the places that they come is to us. They come once a month, and they ride horses, and they paint horses, and they also spend time with our small animals. We have a couple of donkeys and mini horses, as
Oh, they're so cute.
They're so sweet. We have some goats, a couple of alpacas, and a potbelly pig.
Do you do goat yoga?
You know, we that is something that we are looking into. I think the community thinks it's really interesting.
Yeah, that's
and it's
like a
fun.
Big thing now.
So, yeah, it's definitely a program that we're looking into for the future.
Okay,
but,
wonderful.
Portal comes through to us, and just the apprehension when they walk in the door, because they're not used to coming, you know, and they walk in the door, and they see these horses, and they get intimidated, and takes a little encouragement. But when they are on that horse, it's beautiful. They are confident. They have their arms out on, like they're flying on an airplane. And they're looking at themselves in the mirrors that we have around. And they're just smiling. And they're so proud of themselves. And one of the stories I love is we have a gentleman who came to us in a wheelchair. He was not able to ride the horses. But we took him out by the donkeys. And donkeys are like big dogs. And these donkeys loved him. They would not leave him alone. They were trying to climb on his lap.
It he was the donkey whisperer.
It was just the sweetest thing. They were so excited to see him. They came out and they were yelling and just so excited. And they didn't leave him alone the whole time he was in there. And that made a really big impact on him. He was very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do birthday parties. You do family-friendly events. You're going to be looking to add more programs, I understand, like horse meditation, as you mentioned, goat yoga. What are some of the needs that you have at the present time or in the future?
Yes, we're always looking for volunteers. You don't have to have horse experience to become a volunteer with us. We do train all of our volunteers, but it's something that, you know, we need weekly, daily. We need at least three people for each client that we have, and we see two clients an hour.
Oh,
so
ratio's 3-1.
Yeah,
nice.
The need is great for consistent volunteers to come, and it's not difficult training, and it's a great group to work with. We also always need help with the events that we have. We are our largest fundraiser in August every year. It's called Ranch Day. We look forward to it, but it's all hands on deck situation. And not only do we need volunteers, but we also need people to spread the word. So if that's something that is easier for somebody to do, just spread the word about our fundraising events and different community events that we host, and that's always a huge help. And as Karen said, with being a nonprofit, fundraising and financial support is a necessity.
Yeah.
In order to grow and do more things for the community, we need to have the finances to support it.
Yeah.
And not only for our clients, but also for our animals. If we don't take good care of our animals, they can't take good care of our clients.
Right.
And we recognize that mutually beneficial relationship. So that's a huge thing for us as well. We also have our Stable Moments program, which is for foster and adopted kids that we offer, and we always need fundraising to support that program as well as that grows and gets bigger and we recognize the need for that program. So.
Okay. So advocacy, whether you're a horse enthusiast or not, just knowing, again, we talked about this in Karen's segment, that just knowing that a resource is available, maybe you run into somebody that you know is a horse enthusiast, or you know of someone who has a child that needs to come out of their shell, like Karen's granddaughter, and knowing that this resource exists is something that needs to be shared. Now, you guys are up in Washington County.
Correct.
Do you serve people all over?
Yes, we do.
The state? Okay.
We are located in Slinger. We have some clients that come all the way from Fond du Lac.
Okay.
We serve Washington, Dodge, Fond du Lac, Milwaukee, and Waukesha counties. But if we have a client that comes to us from a different county, we do the work to make sure that we can see them as well and that their care will be covered.
Okay, very good. Well, where can our audience find out more about you?
Yeah, my email is info@csranch.org. People can visit our Facebook page. There's updates on there several times a week. They can search up Cedar Springs Ranch, or they can go to our website at csranch.org.
Wonderful. Well, Danielle Massal, Executive Director of Cedar Springs Ranch, thank you for being here today and sharing with us all the great things that is done out at Cedar Springs Ranch. We're actually going to continue this conversation because they have another great program that they offer to children in foster care and or adoption that gives them much needed stability in an oftentimes unstable situation. So stay tuned to learn more about that after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Jules Bandolin from Cedar Springs Ranch, who is here to talk specifically about their Stable Moments program. Welcome to the show today, Jules.
Thanks, Jill. Thanks for having me.
You are certainly welcome. Tell us about your Stable Moments program, what it is, who it's for, and what the benefits are.
Stable Moments is a mentorship program. It's using equine-assisted learning to develop life skills for children in foster care or who have been adopted. We bring together a child, ages right now 6 to 17, with a mentor from the community, and there's no experience needed. We do all the training. We pair them with a horse each week for an hour. This team stays together throughout their participation in the program, and this model's been shown to be beneficial to achieve success with children in foster care or who have been adopted who have experienced early childhood trauma.
Okay. Well, you mentioned this term, equine-assisted learning. So can you tell us more about that, what that is?
Equine-assisted learning is a hands-on approach that helps kids develop important life skills for personal and educational growth through the interactions with horses. It's not a riding program. It's working next to the horse, understanding how the horse is communicating.
So I think that's really important to understand. It is not a riding situation.
Correct.
Okay. Why, explain to us then, why horses make good partners for the specific population that you work with?
Interactions with horses are always therapeutic in and of themselves, but it's the consistent one-on-one time that makes this program successful. Horses are prey animals, so their nervous systems are constantly in fight or flight mode. And it's very similar to kids that have experienced early childhood trauma.
Mm.
So they make very, very good partners.
And how can a horse help build trust?
They learn to understand, these kids learn to understand how horses communicate through their body language and energy and pressure. And this can help kids learn how to better express themselves. They're also building trust through communication, consistency, and gaining confidence as they learn to work with 1,000-pound animals.
Well, and I think anytime you work with an animal, I mean, I'm a dog lover, and I mean, some of the things that between a dog lover and their beloved animal, it can be trust. I mean, you can, especially with a child, when a child is working with an animal and understands their needs, I just think it takes it to a whole different level. So I'm sure horses are a bit different than dogs, but just the idea of working with animals brings out a certain something in people, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us what a typical session looks like.
Each hour is it's divided into three different sections. We start with a connection activity when the child first arrives to re-engage and gain their focus back. And this may be going out to get their horse with their mentor. It may be grooming. And it may also be talking to the horse about the events that have happened over the past week.
Like the horse can be a therapist?
Absolutely.
A counselor?
I have a mentor who played a high-low game tell your horse your the highs of your week. What was the high point of your week? And what was the lowest point of your week? Mm. So that might not have been a real one-on-one conversation with a person, but it was with the horse.
Yeah, we used to do that with our kids every day. It was interesting what they come up with. Yeah. So, okay, the child comes in. Again, this is not a riding activity.
Right.
So they come in, they interact with the horse at different levels.
We do a connection activity to start. Then we do an equine activity. So that's can be how to halter the horse. It can be how to walk with the horse. It can also be creating an activity to do with the horse, like building an obstacle course.
Okay. And then a transitional activity.
Right. And that may be playing a game. It may be doing an art project. We meet our kids where they are, so flexibility on the part of the mentor is also a really big factor. And each mentor session builds on the last to create a really strong foundation that equips these kids to make healthy choices and gain self-worth and become productive members of society. The kids participate in choosing an activity before they leave for their next week. So they see that we're listening to them and we're following through on their requests and we respect their choices.
Nice, very nice. Well, I asked Danielle this question too. How do you know if your program is working?
We put together for each child an individualized plan of care, much like an IEP in a school situation. It highlights their strengths and their challenges. It also highlights goals, and that helps to keep our mentors on track, working, planning activities with their children. And we use equine-assisted learning activities to develop life skills, such as emotional awareness and self-regulation, anger management, and appropriate boundaries, just to name a few. We also use daily activity logs and progress summaries to make sure that the plan of care goals are being met.
Okay, and well, how do the parents or the guardians react to these programs?
Well, I'm a foster and adoptive mom, so this program is really close to my heart. And when I watch parents, it really, there are a lot of tears. We have a six-year-old right now, and he's working with a 1,100-pound horse, Charlie. And they spend time together walking and talking. He had been working on creating an obstacle course. And he'd been refining it, checking it out. We asked him to walk it on his own. He did. Made some changes and adjustments. We had him run it a couple times, get that energy out. Then he came to get his horse. And he took his horse through his obstacle course. Mom was watching. And she could see the confidence and care between the two of them. There were tears.
That's, I'm sure, so wonderful to be a part of.
That's awesome.
And to just watch that.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we talk about how important collaboration is.
Absolutely.
What other organizations do you guys partner with to extend or support your mission?
Well, Chosen has been a benefactor for us. They have made it possible for a family that has six children under the age of six to send three of their children to our program. Families that are either fostering or who have adopted can sometimes not have the financial wherewithal to cover all the services that are needed for their kids. So we're very, very grateful for the gift, and so is this family. We have done some things with Wisconsin Family Connection Center. Children's Hospital has a foster care and adoption program, and we actually have some mentors that are coming from that program that are in medical school, and this program touched their hearts, so that's great. We work with Wisconsin Community Services, All for Kids, and also WellPoint Care Network. Just to name a few.
Right. Great organizations, some of which I have interviewed on this show. So you're doing great work at this Stable Moments program, which is part of Cedar Springs Ranch offerings. Do you have any specific or immediate needs that you want to ask or put out there for the listening audience?
Absolutely. I am looking for mentors to come into the program to work with these kids. The more mentors I have and more support that we have, the more kids we can bring into the program.
Okay.
Also, donations, scholarships, that would be great. We absolutely can use that, and that money goes to helping these families bring their kids into the program.
Okay, and can you please share contact information one more time?
Absolutely. You can reach us at info@csranch.org, and our website is csranch.org.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jules Bandolin, and also Danielle Massal from Cedar Springs Ranch, and also Karen Schlindwein from Chosen Inc. of Wisconsin. Thank you for sharing how you all make a difference in the lives of kids in the foster care and or adoption system in our community. I appreciate all of you being here today. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today during our show, you can reach out directly to Chosen Inc. or Cedar Springs Ranch at the contact information that they shared. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our guests today, that you think would be a great guest for our show, feel free to email me at jill@ellenbecker.com and pass along their contact information. If you're looking for places in our community where you can plug in and make a difference by sharing your time, talent, and treasure, then tune in on Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community to learn more about nonprofits that might align with your interests and your outreach goals. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone, or you can visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, and you can also listen on demand. However you choose to make a difference, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or simply by advocating and sharing what you learned about today, it'll be a wonderful way to give back and pay it forward to any of the nonprofits that we highlight on our show. I encourage you to figure out how you want to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.